eat.
Oh, so good.
Drink. Talk. Rick Redding and Steve Coombs serve up savory conversations about Louisville's world-famous restaurant food and drink scene. The wine is uncorked, the bourbon neat, the apps are on the table. Here comes the main course.
Welcome back to Eat, Drink, Talk, Louisville's top restaurant and bar podcast, where we dive deep into the local dining scene. I'm your host, Steve Coombs, with my co-host and business partner, Rick Redding. Welcome, sir. Hey. Do you remember your big 5-0? Did you have a big party when you turned 50?
It wasn't a big party, but it was, you know, I got to do several events. Leslie turned 50 a little bit earlier than me, and had like a she did like a year-long tour, we called it, special events. So I'm sure it was fun, whatever we got to do. There was a vacation involved somewhere.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good.
And that's what we're turning this week.
We are turning 50.
50 episodes.
I had a big bash at Brownies the Shed out in Whittington on Whittington Parkway. It's
still,
big ball.
Still the worst name restaurant in history. And those are nice guys, and they're busy.
It seems to be successful. There's a lot of, especially ball games, that's the place to stop. So even though the one on in the Highlands didn't seem to work.
No. But. It's on hold. They keep saying they're going to reopen it, but it's on hold.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know when. That's expensive real estate. I know.
It'd kill me to pay that rent check every month. But anyway, they're doing. That's not what we're here to talk about here on the top restaurant and bar podcast in the city. But first, we got to thank our sponsors. And our first sponsor is the Eye Care Institute. It's your one-stop shop for eye care. Whether you have routine vision issues or need significant correction, such as LASIK, or you suffer with cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration, or diabetes, the Eye Care Institute is where you want to visit. Its office is on 1536 Story Avenue in Butchertown. You can make an appointment at 502-589-1500. And
Harvest. Make reservations now for Harvest's next 12-person chef's table. We know the chef now. This is going to be or the guest farmer. This is Barry Yates. Barry Yates is a well-known chef around town who works also for Winston Industries, developer of the Collectromatic and the CVAP and all this cool stuff. But he also is a heritage hog breeder and raiser. I guess farmer is a better way to say it.
Yeah.
He is. He's cooperating.
I'm still stuck on Electromatic.
Collectromatic. The Collectromatic is the fryer that made KFC the exploding company that it was at one time.
There you go.
But it is a nose-to-tail feast, meaning that there are going to be lots of pig parts included. I mean, I was looking at the menu today. There are a couple of little things like bacon ice cream sandwiches on there. The wood roasted copa, which is that lovely cut of a shoulder that is so coveted by the Italians. But Barry is going to be the guy bringing the pork, and Patrick Roney will be doing the cooking. And Harvest, of course, is 384-9090. That's where you need to call for reservations, because this is a 12-person deal, so you need to make sure that you get your space ahead of time. Oh, April 27th. I need to add that.
Yeah, it's coming up soon. A lot of stuff coming up soon in our great city as we prepare for the big event. Spring is so great around here because of the Derby, and Thunder is this Saturday.
That's right.
Wow.
And hopefully it won't rain. They're talking rain so far.
They are talking rain, but can't ever believe those guys.
But it doesn't matter if you're inside a restaurant like Fork and Barrel, where I was last week. So that's the new restaurant that was in the that is in the old Bossa space. And as I wrote on eatdrinktalk.net this morning, it doesn't look a thing like Bossa. It's beautiful. They've really overhauled it, and it's bright orange. Well, not bright orange, maybe a muted orange from the outside, and gone is the battleship gray, and the Vietnamese food, which is fantastic. I love Bossa. But
I hate to admit I never went in there, but I think based on your review, I'm going to have to try a Fork and Barrel.
Was delicious. I guess you'd call it elevated southern comfort food, but chefs Jeffrey Heidi and Nick Sullivan are there knocking it out, and we had a good meal. Still stuffed, couldn't stick around for dessert because I had to go to another event, and that was a busy night, to say the least. But go there, check it out. Dinner only.
Okay, well, we're looking at some other another opening in that space where there seems to always be a lot of changes going on. The old Tom Chi in the Highlands is now going to be
It's a place called Faux Cafe or Pho Cafe. I need to remember that. Pho.
Because it's Pho Baloo.
That's right.
I learned how to say that there.
That's right. So Ping Louis' longtime sous chef, Tuan Phan, he was there for 18 years.
Wow.
You know, crossing between Well, I guess it was just Asia Teak was the only place that he worked with him. But he is a Saigon native, and he is going to be the chef operator behind Pho Cafe. And they're looking for a June opening, I believe it is. This is what Inside of Louisville is reporting. So thank goodness. I mean, that'll be great because there really isn't an abundance of that in the neighborhood. La Jolla, closer toward where Bardstown Road and Baxter Avenue come together, they have some pho. And occasionally there's some pho on the Asia Teak menu. They do have ramen dishes, which is a bit different. But this sounds great to me. Let's just say that. Better than a grilled cheese concept.
Exactly.
Don't care about that very much.
And right there in a busy strip. So,
and speaking of Asian food, so Chicken and Me also opened. Well, it didn't open last week. I got to it last week after it'd been open quietly for 10 days. That is in the center of Clifton on Lower Brownsboro Road, not on the Frankfort Avenue side, but it's next door to Clifton Donuts, since we all know where that is.
Mm.
And this is operated by a chef named, oh gosh, I'm forgetting his name all of a sudden, Jason McCullum, and his wife, Anaith. And she is Lao by birth, or Laotian, I should say, speaks Lao, and their restaurant's fantastic. Bobby Benjamin used to be his boss at La Coupe, and he said, trust me, Steve, this guy is going to be one of the best chefs in Louisville. When you, in your mind, once you eat his food, and it was fantastic. Check out the story on eatdrinktalk.net from last week, and make sure to get the bonito fries, because they were crazy. Ooh.
They sound good.
Well, it's a visual. I mean, you put this, you shave bonito is a dried fish, and they put them on these steamy fries, and these flakes are so thin that they move with the steam of the fries coming up. It's almost creepy looking, but the chicken is fantastic.
Moving food.
Oh, trust me. See it. But this is an absolutely delicious restaurant in a very cool setting, so I'm excited about it.
That's awesome stuff. Well, we finally got some news about the Bourbon and Beyond event, Steve. Any more excited about it than before?
No.
I guess we have some names attached.
In terms of, and again, see Rick's story on eatdrinktalk.net, because there are a lot of star chefs there. It is clearly a music festival first. That's what I think, anyway.
Yeah, look, I mean, Stevie Nicks is going to be there. The Steve Miller Band I saw, and a bunch of other ones.
Trombone Shorty.
I've heard of, actually. Unlike like Forecastle, it's all these bands I've never heard of. I know most of these.
And we remember that, you know, Danny Wimmer Productions, I'm sorry, is the group behind it. They do Louder Than Life, so they have the ability to pull these bands. The key is finding out whether they have the ability to pull the distilleries in there, because nobody so far has signed on. No large distillery is signed on. The only thing that I saw on the website was Rabbit Hole Distilling, and they are what's called a non-distiller producer, and they can't keep up with the demand for what these 40,000 people will drink. So it'll be interesting to see.
But they have a lot of they are going to showcase a lot of bourbon there. I mean, I guess the excuse for all the great music and stuff is food and bourbon. So
right,
there'll be a lot of bourbon there.
Some celebrity chefs. Tom Colicchio is going to be in. Of course, locally, Edward Lee, Anthony Lamas, Kevin Ashworth, who is the chef at 610 Magnolia.
Now, in today's announcement, though, I thought the lineup of participating restaurants was a little thin.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. So
there's a handful, though, including Whiskey Dry, Edward Lee's yet open place on 4th Street Live.
Exactly. Doc Crows is on the list. Who else was... Baxter
Bar 942.
Yeah. So they're going to need a lot more restaurants to agree to come play, and we're going to find out about that tonight. It'll be tomorrow by the time you hear this. We'll do a follow-up story, but this is the media event where they actually let us ask some questions that they will answer, because they haven't so far. They being Danny Wimmer Presents. I would imagine they've been through this before, and we'll see, but I was told by somebody from a large distillery today that we probably will not participate. So, and I'm not going to identify who that is, but that just says that, and it's because they're busy. September is bourbon month.
Well, they're out there working it. It is it's a busy time. It's a short time frame for getting ready, and you know, it's tough to pull off for a distillery with the Bourbon Festival in Bardstown going on. At exactly the same time.
Right. And well, one week from the next. It's different. They're sending a lot to, they send a lot of resources to Whiskey Live, which is in New York the week after the event. So even though they have millions of barrels in aging and billions of bottles, it seems, on retailer shelves, they only have so many staff people to be able to do this kind of stuff. So
there you go.
That is the issue. So
it's a challenge for them. All right, before we get to our first guest, Steve, let's talk about a couple of events coming up. I know you have one, but I do want to mention the Pints for Parkinson's event on 4th Street Live.
Yeah,
Wednesday night.
Awesome.
It sounds like it's going to be awesome. You don't have to pay anything to get in, and they're giving proceeds from if you have a meal there or if you drink a beer there, proceeds go to Parkinson's. And Jason Smith, as read in the story I wrote last week, is the general manager at Gordon Biersch, and he has been diagnosed with early onset Parkinson's, but is working through it, doing mm-hmm. well, and is a great guy.
Right.
And you got the now when is this Bistro 1860 Titanic?
That was dinner? Last week. Oh, that was last okay. week. I was just going to
How was it?
It was 4 hours long.
Wow.
4 hours long. It was a lot time. Of fun. I had a buddy that I hadn't seen in a couple years join me for dinner, and we met some lovely folks at our table who were just a blast, but boy, 4 hours long.
Yeah.
That's a long
meal. I can't do anything that long.
That's a long time to sit on a bare wooden chair.
All right, well, tell me about your guest here so we can get into that part of the show.
My guest is Brandon O'Daniel. I did write a story about my interview with him a couple of weeks ago, but he is the head distiller at Copper and Kings, and they're releasing two gins, one this month, which is their American Dry, which is a lot like a London Dry, but much more floral, and another one, as he'll talk about, called an Old Tom. That's coming out after it barrel ages for a bit, but it's just fun to hear somebody rather than just read them and imagine what their voices are like. And Brandon Daniel is a hoot. He's just funny, enthusiastic, and really fired up about his new Copper and Kings American Dry Gin.
All right, well, let's listen to the interview with Brandon, and Steve and I will be back after that with our favorite segment from Copper and Kings.
Head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Rom.
Today I'm with Matt Jones,
Kevin Harned,
Pat Forty.
I'm with Anoush Shariot,
Kristen Wall,
United States Congressman John Yarmuth,
Sarah Brofancher,
and Susie Eastman.
I have Kristen Boone,
one of St. Matthew's most favorite sons, Danny Flanagan.
It's Pat Day.
The list goes on and on. The most interesting people in the Ville are on the Rusty Satellite Show with Rick Redding. New episodes Thursdays on Louisville.am.
I'm at Copper and Kings American Brandy Distillery in Butchertown with head distiller Brandon O'Daniel. Welcome to the show, man.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you.
It is morning. He's specifying that to shame me because I'm going to be drinking gin here shortly.
That's no shame around here. We like AM drinking. This is the best time to get started.
I mean, so you're usually making brandy and absinthe here, but today we're going to discuss the release of your third and fourth gins, right?
That is correct.
So you've done Alley Cat, Stray Cat. Now we're talking about American Dry and Old Tom. So, you know, first off, is it that much more difficult to do gin versus brandy, or is it easier?
I'm not going to say it's any easier. We got a few more aspects of it. You know, you got the botanicals that kind of come in. You got to make sure they're balanced. I find it a little more interesting. Let's put it that way.
And so it's always a challenge.
Yes, most definitely.
So your aim here was to make a pair of gins that are refreshing but rounded and have the mouthfeel of brandy because their source liquor is brandy.
Correct. So, that's our biggest botanical.
So talk about the first. I believe the dry comes from an apple brandy base. Is
yep.
that right?
Yep. So that's usually how we start things out. That's what have been our first gins have all been apple. Apple's really clean and crisp. It really allows those botanicals to kind of lay on top of it and really kind of open up that entire palate. You know, the apple's the biggest fruit source, the biggest botanical I use in the distillation. So us deciding to do a fruit base instead of like a GNS really just made a huge difference in the way our gins taste. You know, with that much percentage going into the pot, you know, I kind of felt like it was important not to cheap out on that.
So you mentioned GNS, which is grain neutral spirits distilled over 190 proof. How high will this brandy, this gin be distilled?
So the highest point you're going to see coming off this gin is about like 140, and then we're going to go into the bottle for the clear gin at 94, and then the next one, the Old Tom, is going to come in at 100. But they're coming off the pot right at like 140, 144.
So talk about what that means to mouthfeel, being distilled so much lower. You're going to leave a lot more congeners in there.
Yes, a tremendous amount more. The oils are going to be there. It's going to be a lot more viscous. I mean, when this gets in your mouth, it's going to coat your mouth. It's not just going to slide back. It's going to stay for a while and hang out.
And it'll also have some stability and backbone in cocktails too, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we're definitely a cocktail company. We're definitely shooting for the bartender. And I think this gin is going to fit just perfectly behind the bar.
So the American Dry will not be aged like the two past expressions you guys have had. So
Are you looking for something similar to a London Dry profile in this, and something that's just really botanical forward in a cocktail?
Most definitely, yes. With the huge notes of citrus aspects of it, but she's going to be very dry, very crisp, very, very clean. It's going to be the perfect gin and tonic. It screams summertime. It's so refreshing. It's hard to stay out of it.
So what about a martini?
I think that's going to be a delicious option. I've not made a martini out of this gin just yet, but I can only imagine how it tastes.
And it's only a week old, right?
Exactly, yeah. We just pulled it out of the carboys this morning for you. So we're pretty early in the process, but you know that's kind of how Copper and Kings does it. You know, we always like something new and different, and gin just seemed to be the next iteration.
So now the Old Tom will come from a grape brandy.
Yes.
What will just describe the textural differences between an apple brandy and a grape brandy as their base source?
So the grape brandy is just going to be really, really fatty and oily. I mean, we're just doing straight pot distill. We're not doing any rectification whatsoever. So our grape gin is going to be just like our grape brandy. It's really, really fat, really, really bold and forward. But by doing with the gin and doing the botanicals on it, it's also going to be really, really smooth and very caressing. So I'm pretty excited about this one. I'm excited about both of them, but the Old Tom, especially using the grape, was something new for me. It was a little bit harder to kind of jump over that botanical aspect of, you know, dealing with the grape, but once I hit it, it just opened up a whole new plethora of gates.
And Old Tom traditionally is a little bit sweeter than the traditional London Dry or even the Geneva from which they all spring, right?
Correct, yes.
Where did it get that sweet source from?
So really what the kind of the Old Tom was, and the sweetness was kind of to round things out. You know, back when they started doing gins, especially in England, some of the alcohols that they were using were a little sharp. So the Old Tom was kind of a way to kind of sweeten it out, make it a little bit more cocktail friendly and a little bit easier on the palate. We've kind of doing that with our botanical sources, and we're hoping that it's really going to pull through on the barrel.
Now, given the characteristics we were talking about earlier with much more body and more congeners, these gins will probably louche, right?
They're absolutely beautiful when they louche. It is a really light blue, almost kind of white hue.
Oh my gosh.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
So those are those fatty acids falling out of solution.
Exactly. Everything's starting to separate once that water hits and your proof starts to go. Less, alcohol is an extractant. So as you drop the proof, things will come out of solution.
So when you see that happen in your martinis, folks, that's supposed to happen.
It is supposed to happen.
That ain't going bad.
That is a sign of a good cocktail right there. When my gin starts to change color, I get excited.
So let's talk about cocktails further. The most obvious here would be the classic ampersand, which traditionally, I guess, is gin, brandy, and sweet vermouth, right? Mm-hmm. I guess maybe even more traditional would be cognac.
Correct.
But in this case, since you're a brandy maker,
we're switching it up, yes.
And the ampersand, what a perfect thing. I mean, that's
it was made for us. I mean, how much more better of a cocktail could you ask?
That's right. That for listeners who may not know, but that is the marketing symbol for Copper and Kings. It's just the ampersand. Big orange ampersand.
And we do like our orange around here.
So what else are you expecting to be serving at the Sky Bar when it opens in September with this gin?
So we're going to do some gin tonics. I'm sure we'll do some martinis. With the barrel age and the Old Tom, I personally going to drink mine neat. That's kind of how I like to do my gins.
No ice at all?
No ice at all. I do mine straight neat at room temperature, but now I'm a bit of a weird bird. But yeah, I think, as far as I can tell, the bar's going to be just full-fledged on. If you can come up with it, we're going to be able to create it. Our bartenders that we've got up there are going to be up there absolutely fantastic. I have not had one bad cocktail out of these guys, and they are so full of imagination. I can't wait to see what they do with the spirit.
Well, I mean, talk about why you like it neat, because we love our whiskey neat. I'm certainly not opposed to gin neat. We're going to have it neat here in a few minutes. What are you hoping, or what do you get out of it drinking at a room temp when everybody else has to have it icy cold?
So I guess it kind of slides back to that distiller aspect and tasting it off distill. I find it at room temperature just neat that I'm just straight tasting what that distiller did, and I can kind of, I'm looking for that process, whether it be me that made it or somebody else. I just find it a little easier for me to kind of dissect how it was made and, what's actually in it when it's just straight on out of the bottle.
Well, we've got a couple minutes to do that, so let's have a little taste of each one. So we're going to have them neat, folks. This is probably a little bit even warmer than room temp, right, because it's coming out of the tailbox?
Yes, so this is right at 136.
That's the proof.
This is the proof. It's 136. I've just now started to drop it, and I take several days to drop my gin. But this is our clear.
So this would be the American?
Yes, the American dry. Yeah, sorry.
Pretty on the nose.
Isn't it really nice? Citrus, but kind of like a baking citrus. Reminds me of orange rose.
That's excellent.
It's not bad, especially 136.
But I mean, just really trigger. The botanicals are strong. Why do you have to proof it down now? I'm liking it like this.
And that's kind of why I get back to the whole neat aspect. And, you know, and drinking it warm. I like it high proof. I like it straight.
I do too. I mean, especially in cocktail because it maintains its...
Oh, it's going to hold together so well. And this is not going anywhere.
You should see his face, folks. Too bad it's not a video. He is excited about this. So talk about some of the botanicals in here. You're like that. Where's that citrus coming from? Is there a peel in there?
Somewhere? It is. So we did both bitter and sweet orange peels. The majority are the sweet, so that kind of like that softer, rounder, almost like a bready, doughy kind of deal. That's coming off that sweet orange. We've also got just a tad bit of lime in there, a little bit of cardamom, a tad bit of green paradise, and a little bit of angelica root. And we've got the classic gins in there. I went with a really nice classic, you know, recipe, and then we just kind of tweaked it a little bit so that it had that Copper and King style.
Super herbaceous, which is great. And you know, I was not, as I've told your boss, Joe Heron, I was not the biggest fan of, it was the first was Alicat, right? That was a little bit too herbaceous for me. I had to beat it back with some neutral tip.
Hey, you got to watch me with my botanicals. I like my plants a lot. So, you know, when he says go and make something that's got some umph, we thump it hard.
So, let's taste the Old Tom.
All right.
Now, this, once it comes to market, will have been aged 3 to 6 months. They're going to eyeball it. And check it out and see how it's aging. So this is exciting to me. I have not tasted a proper Old Tom gin.
Well, let's hope that you think that's what this is.
Well, if it's as good as the American Dry, I'm going to be terribly excited.
We just finished this last night. So this one's right at like 140.
But the aromas aren't at 140. I mean, it just...
No, it really feels like we've just poured it straight out of the bottle. And that bouquet just really explodes once we start to drop the proof. So it's only going to get better. As you can tell, it's
so much softer on the palate, a lot more floral notes. This is awesome. I can't wait to see what it does in the barrel.
I'm extremely excited.
Brandon O'Daniel, thanks so much for being on the show this
Appreciate
week.
Appreciate it, Steve. Anytime.
Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
And we have returned. Steve Coombs and Rick Redding, myself, are back with the top restaurant and bar podcast in the city. Great interview, Steve, there with the colorful Brandon O'Daniel.
Easy interview. He's funny, isn't he?
That's good stuff. All right, well, we'll talk about my guest in just a second, but this is our Copper and King's favorite segment. We always recognize, so we just talked to somebody from Copper and Kings, that they are a sponsor of this segment of the show.
Absolutely. Creators of pot distilled American brandies in Butchertown. Visit the distillery at 1121 East Washington Street for a tour or look for its brandies, gins, and absinthe on bars and retailer shelves everywhere in Louisville and 38 states, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
But so they have an event every single week, it seems like. And last week I went to the Mali Idea event. Now, Mali Idea is Mezcal. So they partnered with another spirits company to have four bartenders make cocktails with their brandies and mezcals. It was fantastic. It was held outside in their wonderful courtyard, probably about 100 people there. It was like the coolest bar in town just for that night. True pop-up event. But anyway, next week, this week.
What can I go to this week?
I don't think you're going to go to this one, knowing you. And this is not my strength anyway. It's called the Brandy and Blues, or Brandy and Blues, as in blue cheeses. So they're partnering with Kenny's Farmhouse Cheese and doing a pairing with American Brandy on Thursday night. Now, you need to go to their Facebook page. It's just Copper and Kings to be able to get ticket information. But if you like brandy and you like, well, everybody should like brandy. And if you like blue cheese, this is an educational event for the serious palate. I don't know that I can do much on the blue. Mm. You either?
I was hoping it was blues music.
Well, they're going to have blues music there. But it's really blah.
Blah.
Which is what I taste.
I got the blues.
When I taste strong cheeses, it's a blah.
That's funny. All right. Well, let's get right into our favorites real quick. Now, my guest coming up is Pam Spalding, who is the proprietor at Salsarita's. There's two in town, and
one within dipping distance, as it were, from our studio.
I made it with a 5-minute cushion last week to get over there, but I didn't realize what kind of food there. I thought there might have been an El Nopal type Mexican restaurant, but they're more similar to
It's chain Qdoba concept. Yeah,
it's similar to the Qdoba concept, but I had something that I've never been able to get it at Qdoba, which is a queso smothered burrito, and it was yummy because the more cheese, the better.
That's right, and 900 calories and up is always better.
Exactly. They put the cheese on, and then he pulled up this other white bottle and said, "Now, how about some of this? Pour some of that on there."
Thank too. You very much.
It's just a couple more
right
calories.
There, back by Dickie's and Kroger's off.
Yeah, there's that one, and there's
Hubbard's Lane,
and it's also the other one's out in Middletown. That's the one I took Luke, my son, to, and that's where we hung out. So
I went to maybe the extreme opposite of that, and that I had the charred octopus at Fork and Barrel. It was absolutely fantastic. If you like octopus, you got to go get one there because it was good, or a portion of the legs there, not the whole darn thing. So Rick didn't get to get a special drink for the week for whatever reason. Were you just kind of finishing off your Lenten commitment?
Yeah, that's right. I was drinking all my old cool stuff, the wild turkey honey that I usually have and all that. So I didn't go out much last week, but you made it up for it for me. I appreciate that.
I did. So I'll do too. So when I was at Fork and Barrel the other night, I had an Emily's Garden, which is absolutely fantastic if you're a gin fan. It's Bombay gin, lemon, ginger syrup, and rose water. Delicious. And it's light enough to where you could order two if you wanted. Not a heavy drink at all, but it was delicious. And the other one was at Copper and Kings at the Malidea event. I had the Despertador, which is difficult to pronounce, done by a young bartender named Dante Wheat. And it blended Malidea, Mezcal, Dulin Rouge, chocolate bitters, and, of course, Copper and Kings brandy. And it was a knockout. And that's some of the stuff that you get to do when you go down there is taste a lot of innovative cocktails.
Man. Well, that one's certainly innovative. A lot of stuff in it. So, sounds pretty good.
So before we skip off to your interview with Pam, we're going to need to revisit our sponsors. And at Harvest, I was told today by the owners, promote the Derby Brunch. Derby Brunch.
There you go.
Derby Morning, Derby Evening Dinner. So there are still seats available, which is surprising at this point in the schedule. What are we, 13 days out?
I'm telling you.
20 days out?
Entire Derby week restaurants are going to be packed. If you're planning to go out that week to somewhere nice, it's time to make reservations now.
Maybe post time, but no pun intended, but still. So seats open on Derby Morning Brunch, Sunday Morning Brunch, and Derby Evening. But he said pretty much, you know, in the run-up to the week, or up to the race, I should say, they're full. So call them up, 384-9090, or make reservations at harvestlouisville.com, or just, not this week. You don't want to just, or that week, you don't want to drive down there to 624 East Market. Chances are you're not going to get a seat.
There you go. There you go. Well, and also, we're so happy that the Eye Care Institute participates on this show as a sponsor. They're your one-stop shop for eye care. And their phone number down there is 502-589-1500. Make an appointment, get your eyes checked so you can read those menus. All right. So
tell me about Pam Stallings.
Pam Stallings.
Why did you choose her?
Well, she's involved in a lot of local events, and normally we don't talk about chains on the show, but Pam is they have two spots, and she is very hands-on in terms of operating the restaurants and in terms of what, you know, the charities and the local events they get involved in. They do a lot of high school, they do a lot of catering for high school events, et cetera. Pam's delightful. She's got a lot of personality, and she's in fact, her oldest son is a senior at UK and is one of the better golfers in the state. So she's been running around chasing golf balls with him for some time. But there's an event coming up, and she's going to talk about it. It's a Make-A-Wish event on April 29th, I believe it is. And it's a
Saturday
great way,
night, right?
And it's, you know, during the day you can go over there and have lunch, and some of your money goes to this great cause. And I really think you'll enjoy hearing from Pam and how somebody like her. She's from the advertising industry, but she got into the restaurant business and is making it.
Awesome.
Dessert? Yes, please.
All right, today the show is at Salsarita's in St. Matthews. I'm with Pam Stallings. Now, you're the owner of this place, right?
Or so, speaking of someone that I live with the owner, yes.
Yeah, you said you slept with the owner, so yeah, I won't get into that.
No,
No. This is an amazing franchise.
It is.
You're a franchisee. You've got two locations in town.
We have two locations. Yeah, this is our original location. We opened up 11, it'll be 12 years in September. And wow. We opened up our Middletown location. It's been about 5 years. I apologize if it's six, but I think it's about 5 years ago.
Managing and running anything like that successfully over time is quite an accomplishment. But you were telling me you're not new at all to Louisville. You're born and raised.
Yeah, hometown girl. My husband's hometown, and we've been away. We haven't ever lived. Or he's lived away. He got a lot of his food experience, how so to speak. He went to school in Louisiana.
Okay.
So wow. That food, yeah.
And so. Let him go back. But you've done a lot of different things.
I have,
Before you discovered restaurants, no,
before
right?
Our resume is quite lengthy, yeah. I was in advertising and marketing, and then, we've got the delivery. We've got a chip truck
back
here.
Yeah, we are outside,
ladies and outside, gentlemen. Yeah, we are outside, but yeah, so I worked for Biomet for a while, medical device distributor, and did all their marketing and compliance and all that. That takes 3 states, and then went back to Red 7E, and then about 11 years ago, our daughter had some medical issues, so it allowed me to come back, and Steve had an opening here, so a resume. He was like, okay.
He hired you. That was an easy decision.
Yeah, he hired me, yeah.
Okay, well, Salsarita's, I'm always interested in change that make a great effort to be a part of the community. And Salsarita's seems to be doing that. Tell me, first of all, you've got a big charity event coming up on April 29th.
We do. So our good friend over at Simply PR called and said, you know, we have a Make-A-Wish project coming up, and would you want to work with us? And you know, immediately I always say, well, tell me more. And then she...
No, you say, how much? No,
yeah, well, that too. But am I available? But when she said Make-A-Wish, it brought back a lot of great feelings in the heart. And when we opened 11 years ago, we donated the opening proceeds to Make-A-Wish.
Wow.
And it was, yeah. So that was like, okay, Caroline, come on.
Okay. And, so you're doing a lot of promotion for April 29th, and what's going to happen that night?
Caroline's totally, or Make-A-Wish Cassidy's in charge, and it's National Wish Day. So she's promoting the walk that's coming up, and I'm not 100% sure what the date is, but I know that's coming up in the next couple weeks. But on April 29th, perfect kickoff to our Cinco de Mayo celebration.
There you go.
There was a tie in there. And so we've hit a lot of the area high school students are going to come over and help sign up walkers for the Make-A-Wish event. We're going to have a putting green out here. We have a little connection to golf always. So,
That's right. What an interesting thing. Your son is on the team at UK.
He is. Yeah. We're senior. We're going to get ready and head to the SECs and national championship hopefully is looming, so we'll be.
So you get to walk around a lot on golf courses.
Yes, yeah. 18 miles in 2 days. Yeah,
that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
At least we're getting the good weather for it. But yeah. Back to Salsarita's, I'm interested. So 15% of the proceeds of that day are going to go to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and that's a very generous thing. But you're involved in a lot of local charities and really have been successful, I think, in becoming a part of the community rather than just some out-of-town chain restaurant.
Right. Well, we try. We are locally owned. Both stores are locally owned, locally run. Our biggest, we do a ton of work with the CICU development with Braveheart's and Norton's Children's Hospital.
Okay.
And that's a big thing of ours with the kids with CHD.
Okay. Well, that's a great one. And the schools. And I know that, you've been very successful in running this franchise. What is it about
Sell me on the food. There must be something addictive that attracts, because there's so many Mexican restaurants in town, aren't there?
There are, but the unique thing about Salsarita's, I believe, is everything is made fresh daily.
Okay.
The chips are made fresh daily. They're addictive. I don't know if you've had any. They're light.
I don't know why
they're
there aren't light. Any on this table
we,
right
we
now.
Need to get you some right away. Although you said we were going to the other Middletown location,
yeah,
we're going to have to feed you
lunch
with your son. But yeah, and everything is made fresh. We, you know, the from grilled chicken. We do have something unique. We have shrimp here.
Okay.
Pork. You just go down the line. It is. I think one of the cutest things that when we first opened, one of the little ones that was in here, and I love this place. I'm like, okay, why? She's kind of. It's so colorful, and so you know that too. I mean, the brightness and the energy that surrounds red and
yeah.
Our salsa is awesome. We're bringing back our pineapple salsa here in May, and so we switch out with LTOs and things like that.
Okay.
So it's a little bit different.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus,
well,
we're local.
That's
we're
right.
Not a chain. It's we are local. A boutique.
But while Salsarita, yeah. You know, not to yes, dispute you, but it is a chain. I understand that
it
have
is.
Quite a few locations. Where is it primarily?
So there are. They're going to shoot me because there's several.
I did my research.
Yeah, well, I know there are 80. There's actually more than 80 because there is in airports in
okay.
Charlotte. But Charlotte has the majority. There's South Carolina. There's a bulk of them in Texas, which
okay.
is a testament to the chain, because if you are selling fresh Mex in
yeah.
Texas and there's a lot of locals... but it is. It's the recipes. We are always working. They allow us a lot of freedom because we're one of the first
okay.
franchisees.
What's most popular here in terms of menu items?
Well, it just depends on the person.
For me, it would be margarita, I think.
Yeah.
But,
well,
yeah.
You know, the margarita, we don't have margaritas.
No.
No. So the
See,
chain
I'm
does.
Something.
So it's like we have bottled margaritas, which are Cayman Jacks.
Uh-huh.
We do sell beer. We opened with a full bar. The concept has changed. Obviously, it's changed a little bit more than we would have liked. We started as Salsarita's Fresh Cantina,
mm-hmm.
but it really never was a testament to the name. So it is Salsarita's Fresh Mexican Grill now.
Okay.
So that's going to be the wave of the future, and more on fresh food, fresh. But if I had what I eat, I mean, Louisville is the number one queso market, believe it or not.
Is it really? In the
country? We like our queso.
There you go.
So, yeah, but, you know, when I eat, I love a good chicken taco with, you know, salsa and lettuce and all that good
okay.
stuff on it. I'm pretty healthy, actually.
Are you?
Black meat, yeah.
Do you think Mexican food is healthy?
We did a blog on one of our customers out in Middletown. He lost 100 pounds on eating Salsarita's food.
No way.
I believe he was 100 pounds. Somebody, yeah, I have to, I can't, yeah, John, yeah, yeah. They did a blog on him, but he was working with his personal trainer, and they just basically said, you know, we want you to eat this kind of food.
Yeah.
Kind of food. And he's like, you know, I come here every day. So he cut out the chips. He cut out the queso.
Okay.
And strictly, you know, he had chicken tacos. I mean, we have such a big variety that, you know, you can get salads every day. And we're
okay.
always switching out, like, salsa, you know.
Okay.
When you
so
really
that's how you
sit
lose
down.
Pounds.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a fajita, you know, I get fajita bars all the time. We have Fiesta packs.
Okay.
And,
okay.
Yeah, my kids are addicted. Like, I have to take them. 2 hours away, I put them in a cooler, and I take them Salsarita's food.
I met Dave a minute ago. He's
yeah.
a manager of catering. You do a lot of catering.
We do. We do a ton. This is a big time of year for us. We have four vans, and we can busy with, you know, it's graduation, Cinco. I'm calling it Cinco de Oaks. Nobody else. They put a lot of pressure on Louisville, Kentucky with Cinco de Mayo and the
yeah,
chain.
Yeah,
having
a ride at Derby time.
Nobody gets Derby.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, why are you so concerned about...
They're not
about,
from around here.
No,
they don't
no.
get it.
Last year was good. This year, you know, I'm a little... you know, the schools are off. We've had a lot of schools last year. They have their little Salsarita, you know, Cinco
yeah.
de Mayo parties. And yeah, it was fun.
Right.
So we'll
you get around.
I get around.
Derby. So I ask everybody I talk to,
Derby.
What's your Derby plans?
Well, let's see.
Not going to work.
I work. It's like, I don't know. You heard Dave. I mean, I'm hard to catch. I work every single day. You know, you have a restaurant. As you know, you're in the talk, eat, drink business. I don't think there's one restaurant owner that goes to bed at night without.
Well, there's some passion for it, and there there are people that are in the industry seem to really, they enjoy their work, and they spend a lot of time on it.
Yeah, I do. You know, National Nacho Day, it's hard. It's hard getting people to work and have the passion that you have. And, you know, you walk into Salsarita's, the first thing I do is please smile. Everybody, please smile. You know, what is the worst thing that you could be doing?
That's a good thing to do. You're smiling right now. Really great.
I am. You know, we're all very, that's why I'm very passionate about doing charitable work in the community, and it could be a lot worse.
Yeah, it's all a good thing. This is the best time of year,
good
I think,
food.
To be in town.
And, oh, can you get any better than this right now?
No, this is what it is.
So. Let's just pray it keeps for Derby. But yeah,
Derby. Well, let's remind our listeners that before Derby.
Yeah, before Derby on April 29th, let's head over to both.
Either.
The majority of the program will be here in St. Matthews because we'll have a putting green, but. From our event organizers tell me that we'll have both representation at both locations, signing people up for the Make-A-Wish Walk-A-Thon.
So, very good. Well, Pam, thanks for being on the
show. Thank you.
This has
been
a lot
good
of fun.
To see you in all of our lives.
If you just can't get enough, catch up on the news of the city's restaurant scene every single day by visiting www.eatdrinktalk.net. Steve and Rick share all the latest local scoop from Louisville's restaurants and bars. You can also find old episodes of the show and connect with the guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Eat well, my friends. Another episode next week.